Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
First-time listener, long-time. Go ahead, Colin.
Nice.
You're on.
Very nice. And joining us, we have three guests with us this week, all from Descendant Studios in Austin, Texas. First off, director of fun, Eric Peterson.
Fun. Your daddy takes deeper it away.
Do you have a kazoo? Like you should totally have like a kazoo
or whatever. Yeah, or that slide thing. What's that slide?
You know, slide that whistle. Yeah.
Yeah. So
actually, he needs a vuvuzela. That's more appropriate.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, that'd be perfect.
That was a good vuvuzela.
That was actually. We also have creative director Rob Irving.
Yep, that's me.
Hello.
I don't have a slide
game
with leader.
Sucks. It's his fault. Just going on record.
I blame Eric.
And finally, we have community manager Keith McCormick.
Is that a moose?
Keith, just you could come up, stop rubbing my feet, and come on up and put a headset on.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be that kind of show.
We're a very serious crew, as you can tell.
That's right.
So, gentlemen, first off, folks, if you're listening to this in the future, we haven't had a podcast in 2 weeks.
If you're listening to this in the future, please tell me the lottery numbers for tonight, because, well.
You know, as of tomorrow, all the Back to the Future movies will be in the past. All of them. Anyway, we didn't do a podcast the last 2 weeks, because first I lost my voice, then I lost my PC. So, we were supposed to have these guys on 3 weeks ago, was it? 2 weeks ago? And you guys have been just so patient, and you didn't get pissed at me or anything.
No, but the best was we're getting ready to come on the air and Steam goes down. Yes!
That was great. That was great.
In the offline, online version.
So we're playing the non-DRM version of the game. But I want to thank you guys for being patient and friendly and not getting pissed at me for rescheduling twice because of multiple problems. So
that's friendly. They're downright.
Really appreciate that.
Life happens.
Oh, God, it really does. First, folks, I got a cold and lost my voice, and then my PC went down because of a tiny little fan. So all one after the other. So that was a lot of fun. But we're back. Thank you for watching. And today we're talking about Descent Underground. But first, we're talking about something from the past a little bit. Because Eric worked on my favorite space RTS of all time, Conquest Frontier Wars.
Yes, I did.
So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about that wonderful game that, folks, if you don't own it, you could still buy it on GOG right now, $5.99. Seriously, it comes with a soundtrack, which is one of the best game soundtracks you could
James
possibly
Hannigan.
Own.
Yeah,
was that?
He did an amazing job. James Hannigan.
Oh, really?
That's Alex,
yeah,
brother.
He's brilliant.
Oh, that sound! I listen to that soundtrack all the freaking time, especially the Terran battle music. Oh my God. So that game went through how many publishers before it ended up at Ubisoft? Was it just one or did it?
Yeah, just one. We were at, I was one of the founders with Chris and Aaron and Tony and others at Digital Anvil, and we were making that game for ourselves, which we own the IP, but Microsoft was our publisher. And when Microsoft bought the company, they kind of wanted Freelancer and Brute Force, but didn't want Loose Cannon or Conquest, even though Conquest was 90-something percent done. So myself and Tom Maurer took it and put all the stuff that Microsoft made us cut back in.
Yeah, hey, Eric, when you were at Digital Anvil, did you work on Freelancer?
I did a little bit. I did some vocal work and some early stuff.
Okay,
but I wasn't
you
there when it finished.
Okay, but you weren't at E3, were you, with Freelancer?
Oh, yeah.
Because maybe that might be where I met you. If you were,
I might have been
at the demo thing.
If you were okay, so we did a Freelancer demo. Most of those were behind closed doors with press.
Yeah, this was on the floor.
Then that would have been after I was already gone doing Conquest. I was doing Starlancer most of the time that I was there before I hit Conquest.
Which a lot of people don't remember.
Oh, dude, I got Starlancer running again, actually.
Best game box ever.
We won the worst game box ever.
Wait, what?
Well, okay, so the story there is we had this really bitchin' like World War II propaganda looking game box, very German propaganda style. And Microsoft was our publisher, and they had two, I think, distributors in Sweden and Denmark or somewhere complain that it was too fascist looking. Whoa. So 2 weeks before we ship, they cobbled together this bullshit piece of shit, horrible, like cartoon. We had this really dark.
We have a language problem.
Game. It was so bad. So bad, you know, it's so bad that Ed Freese literally apologized to me after. It's so funny. I'm sitting in a room with Aaron Roberts, Chris Roberts, and myself, and they're showing us the box. They're pitching it to us, and it's a week. And I just spent almost 2 years going back and forth to England, crunching on this project. And we're sitting in this room, and this Microsoft guy is like, he's a really nice guy. Just tell us, he's showing us the box. And I looked at Aaron and Chris, and they're just, you know, they're going, yeah, it's okay, it's okay. And I'm like, I go. That was Rob shut the door so he didn't hear me because it's an echo. I go, what? What is your, what? It's not okay. And I just kind of blew up. I said, what on this box makes you walk by the shelf and go, oh, I got to have that. We've got this dark, pretty, cool gaming experience. And here's this cartoony crap box.
It looks like a romance novel cover.
It really did.
And then we won the worst box of the year.
Did you hear the sound of thousands of browsers firing up right now going to search for this cover art? I hear it. I hear it happening.
Oh, I remember. I had that box.
The thing I remember most about the game is when you're installing it, like you listen to the speech from the president.
Well, I think that speech is better than the one Robert says right now with our assistant. Oh, I like the bishop's speech.
Oh, we weren't bringing that up.
I've got a speech. It's on my wall right here. It says, I do not care who you were, as of now, you're part of the Navy, my family. We have a long and proud history, one which we must now fight and preserve. More than that, we are...
Who wrote that?
Oh. It's sitting there on my wall right now. It's
That's amazing, because it's like, yeah, I remember that. Like you're.
Now I'm going to have to reload Starlancer. Like, yeah. I haven't played that in so long. And apparently...
What you can do in there that nobody played? You can play cooperatively. We put 6 months into making sure every mission could be played cooperatively and opened it up all these different.
Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, Thursday night, we're going to. We do co-op games on Thursday, man. So,
yeah, you can play Starlancer completely through the thing cooperatively.
Okay, so why is Starlancer not on Good Old Games yet?
You know, Microsoft. So I've got this weird. There's a bunch of games in the late 90s, starting with Descent and Starlancer and some others in Conquest. That I would like to bring back. There's a whole grouping between 97 and 2001 before consoles took over with some really innovative, cool gameplay. And
oh, yeah.
They're just being ignored.
I agree.
So I don't know why they haven't. I think it's because it's GOG. Are many Microsoft games on GOG?
Not many at all, if any.
Not really. I mean, the only Microsoft games you'll find digitally, really, besides the ones that are like newer, obviously, are like the remastered versions of like Age of and then Rise of Nations and Age of Mythology.
Crimson Skies would be a good one.
My god! Oh, I would love Crimson Skies on GOG.
See, there's a whole group of kids today that would love those experiences if we just up the res the graphics and all that.
Yeah. So last week, Brian of course was dead, but I had Mitch Gittleman on right from FASA. And we were specifically talking about like Crimson Skies and like, dude, where is it? Right? Because they're doing the BattleTech thing right now. But I'm just like,
yeah, Jordan.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Jordan wasn't available to come on. Hopefully, separately, I can get him because I have so many questions about BattleTech.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he. You know, from I know how nice of a guy Mitch is, and if Mitch says that Jordan is like super nice, then I can only imagine how nice he is. So,
but we did. He sold FASA to Microsoft around the same time that we were still partnered with them at Digital Anvil. So I met Jordan a few times at, I think, Game Fest or something. Microsoft used to host some game thing that we would all go up, show up our wares to the press and stuff. And Jordan's just a really cool guy.
Nice.
I was a big BattleTech fan, still am. I'm one of the supporters on Kickstarter.
So. Oh, yeah. How could you not be? I mean, come on. It looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I so can't wait for that.
You were asking about Conquest, though.
Yes. Now it ended up in Ubisoft, and it kind of fizzled.
Well, okay, so we had it nearly finished at Digital Anvil, and Microsoft had cut a bunch of stuff out because they weren't willing to take some risk. And so Tom Maurer and I took it. We added a bunch of things in there, like we added Admiral AI back. We added in a bunch of different like whenever you were, there were battles, if you came into a system, because it was on 16, if you came into a system and you weren't sure who was fighting there, we wanted different debris types so you could tell which races were in there fighting.
Right.
And you could mine the debris, right? So we put that back in there, and then we just added a bunch of new stuff and really, really fixed up the missions and stuff to make it look good. And Ubisoft basically picked it up off the scrap heap for about 200K. So they didn't really have to put any money into the marketing or anything, and they didn't. It still sold between 300,000 and 400,000. I'm not sure what the total was.
It's not bad. That's better than I thought.
And it's got a very good Metacritic rating, and it's a really great game. And it's still selling.
No, it's better than Homeworld, sir. I submit. It's better than Homeworld.
It's easier than Homeworld. It's just you play the game. It's a 3D game, but you play it on a 2D plane, traditionally like StarCraft or. And there's supplies.
Multiple systems, supplies, admirals.
Three different races.
That's just a red Eric button. That's not really serious. Although I did like Homeworld. And I interviewed for the lead design position on Homeworld too, to be honest.
Yeah, hey,
I liked Homeworld too.
We were talking about the box art for Starlancer, right? And I looked it up. And I'm looking at that ship that's on the cover. And I'm thinking, that's a Vanduul ship. Like, straight up, man.
I can't remember. I think I blurted out that box out of my mind. I mean,
a Kilrathi ship?
No. It looks like Vanduul from the new
Kilrathi.
Here, I'll
put it. Oh, it does. Chat. You're right.
Yeah.
You're
like,
right.
You know, I have an eye for the spaceships. Right?
By the way, Jim, Game Ranger does support Starlancer. So
We should
try and make that happen.
What do you guys
maybe we'll do that
on Thursday night.
It does look like it. It does look like the Vanduul, not the Glaive, but the. What's the one Rob? I used to mispronounce all the time.
Sias.
Yeah, the one that you can fly. That was, you know, that it was in the hangar too.
Sigh, yeah.
And that was a weird thing about that demo deal, because I don't have an account, so I could play a bunch of ships, and then the people that had accounts were limited to their own. So I thought they should have maybe opened that up, like, to because really it's like, if you want to sell me a $500 ship, let me fly it a little bit. And then,
and I don't know what, you know, I don't know how they go about doing their stuff. They've got their, you know, there's some cool Starlancer boxes on here by the, Dreamcast box is pretty cool looking.
Oh, it came, yeah, I forgot the thing came out on a Dreamcast.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
So, Brian, do you own this for your Dreamcast? Or
I already own it for the PC, so I didn't feel the need to buy it for the Dreamcast.
But you have to. Yeah. You have to for the box art alone, right? Like, but I see what you mean, though, about the – oh, wow, somebody made, like, Starlancer papercraft model and stuff. What? Wow.
Oh, that's a way better cover for the Dreamcast version.
I know. You know, it's funny because we were making this game. That's actually the wormhole, or, you know, the jump gates when you went through. When we were making that game, I remember the Free Space guys, we were in direct competition with them, and they came over to our booth at E3 and looked at that and saw the really cool dynamic we had when we flew from one system to the other. And they're like, holy shit. And they immediately left. And went back to theirs. They probably thought, we got to do this. And then I think they did the thing we geeked on their stuff about was the Nebula. Loved the Nebula stuff. We didn't have any of that. We had it in Conquest, though. The Nebulas would do different things. That was our terrain. Some of them would speed you up. Some would slow you down. Some would...
Yep. I love that you could mine. Were the gas pockets in the Nebulas?
Yeah, some of them were in the Nebulas, and some of them were on the gas giants. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, God. My favorite thing about that game, besides the supply... thing, which not enough games model, I think it's that and Cohen, I think that, and that might be it.
Yeah,
that model supply is the multiple systems per map.
It was kind of designed off of Risk. If you ever played Risk, and you're in Kamchatka, and the other guy's in Alaska, and you have that little trade lane that you can traverse and fight each other. That's in Conquest is essentially there's a lot of dynamics of Risk in there that. You know, they come that way. But now the supplies were great because you could lock down a system and it would power up the next system. If you didn't have a headquarters in the second system and you had a jump gate locked, the power would go in there. But if somebody would blow up that jump gate, the power would then be cut in the next system. So it was, you know, you could go behind enemy lines. Dude, we had so much stuff coming for Conquest too. I don't know if you guys know this, but I tried to kickstart that.
Dude, I was a supporter.
I failed miserably. It was terrible.
I was so sad. I nearly cried.
That was the saddest goodbye speech ever.
I was so fucking sad about that. What happened?
I did a shitty job on the Kickstarter. I mean, we learned a lot from my failure to launch Dark Citizen.
Kickstarting is hard. It's so hard.
It is. If you knew the percentages of people that succeed versus those that don't, I think a lot of people wouldn't do it. I mean,
I believe it. I mean, I study Kickstarter. I've backed many of them, but I try to put my money where my mouth is and supporting space games. But I kind of study Kickstarter because it's like this new era of marketing, and I work in marketing is my primary job. I work in SEO, so that's why I study. I kind of study Kickstarter. It's fascinating to see what succeeds and what fails. How much succeeds? I'm just looking at video games. I'm not looking at anything else even. But so much fails. So much stuff that looks good fails.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Starfighter Inc. was one that I kind of liked, and it didn't quite make it. But I think where a lot of people fail is in not preparing the crowd before they get to Kickstarter, not bringing a crowd to the party, because nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. You know, so people love to support successful stuff, and you know,
starting from zero is very hard.
Yeah,
it is.
You know, even ours just leaked across the line, so it's not like I'm 2 for 3 on Kickstarters now, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
That's true. That's true, and it's always really nice to see one like this Kickstarter I was supporting just eked across the line today with 4 hours left. It got funded.
Woohoo!
And I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, Kickstarter, right, is like it seems like a lot of people really lowball it, and it's like, well, we want to get funded, so we don't want to set it too high, right? And then they hope that, well, we get like a mad rush of people and we get like 10 times more than we asked, right? Because the burn rate.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, is there like some formula that we should pass on to people, like, you know, this is the real number that you need for your Kickstarter?
It's complete black magic, honestly. I mean,
there really isn't a formula. It's basically – it's a combination of so many things. It's a combination of, yes, bringing a crowd with you. It's a combination of a successful pitch, lots of updates, transparency. There's just a lot that goes into a successful Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And it's just this amazing juggling act that doesn't always work despite how good your game looks, which is sad.
Yeah, I think when we did the Descent one, we literally signed the deal with Interplay the day before we went live, and so we were comfortable doing Ships That Fight Underground, or STFU. It was a Descent, like, it's going to be a Descent-style game, it's a six-stop game.
I kind of like that name, though.
Yeah, we got T-shirts for it. It's pretty cool.
DescentStudios.com.
Yeah.
Can you at least get it as a subtitle under there, Descent Underground STFU?
And we once you got in early, you still call it STFU, so we're okay with that. I mean, you know, Interplay just owns the name Descent. We own the name Underground, so you know, we could always just be the Underground at some point if we want. Mm-hmm.
So
be happy being Descent.
How did you wrestle the name away from them then?
I think since we left Star Citizen and you know, people were riding the wave of that title and you know, this beautiful game, and so they, I think lots of people have approached them about, and I, this is a total guess, but I'm assuming about that IP, that they saw us as being able to do it justice, to really bring it forward with the AAA experience and make it look really good, and so you know, they decided to ride with us for a while and see how that works out.
Ooh. So let's move on to talking about this game now.
Yeah, not look at Star Lancer boxes.
I never get sick of looking at that Star Lancer box because that is fabulous.
That Star Lancer box is actually
it needs like
kind of
Fabio
amazing.
On the cover, and then it would be my wife would be buying that on Amazon.
Flabio.
Yeah, I mean the guy's obviously wearing too much.
No, you know what it needs?
His hair isn't long enough.
Needs John Romero on there.
Oh yeah,
the locks, man. Float a little bit of wind.
Oh man,
yeah.
He's in Ireland now. I saw he's on my Facebook thing. I guess he's moving to Ireland. I was like, oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did you get? So you got the name away from Interplay because they thought you could do it justice.
Well, wait. Yeah, I have a question. I have a question about just that. Like, where did you find Interplay? Because aren't they like a file cabinet in somebody's basement right now?
No, I think they're bringing their stuff to Steam and GOG and stuff. So I think they have a small group that still resurrects their old IPs and puts them out there and generates a little revenue.
That they have no interest in actually trying to make something again.
We didn't seek them out. We were perfectly happy making Ships That Fight Underground. And one of our fans, one of the people on our website, said, "Would you like to talk to them? I'm one of the investors there." And it's like, sure, why not? So I'll talk to anybody about just to see what happens. And then they hooked us up. I think it was January. We just started talking, and a few times, the conversations went ways we weren't happy with, and so we kind of broke off. It was just a negotiation, and then we finally found a happy medium where we're both happy and thought, well, okay, let's do it. And who wouldn't want to be called Descent? I mean, my mother scratcher, man, that game sold like 25 million units. So, why it's certainly whenever. Okay. So if we took the game and went as Ships of Fight Underground, you'd get some novelty for us, right? You get a little bit of people always with Kickstarters and everything else. It's still about getting the eyeballs to your place. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the name Descent brought a ton of people, and with it brought a ton of issues. Like, Descent means something different to everybody. They didn't. Descent 1 and 2 people don't like Descent 3 people, or they don't like the way the game's played. Some people see it as only a single-player experience. Some people see it as only a multiplayer experience. If you tell people what Descent is, everybody has a different opinion if you ask everybody. So we had to traverse a lot of those. We had to navigate that minefield while we're making it. There, people are arguing on our forums and arguing in the Kickstarter page. And so we had to kind of find the happy medium and adjust our pitch accordingly and find the right sweet spot.
So is the next game going to be, since you've got the IP, right, Descent to Undermountain? Can we get
a Disney feature?
I was waiting for that. I was for that.
Sarah Jessica.
That's Escape to Witch Mountain. No.
Oh, what the hell is that? Yeah.
That's Jodie Foster, isn't it?
Yeah. And The Rock. But they did a reboot of it.
Oh,
do you remember Descent to Undermountain? The Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah. I've actually never played it. I heard it was terrible.
Oh, it was the best. Yeah. So,
but they had a knife.
But so I have a mission for you though, since you actually have contacted somebody at Interplay. I want to find out where the Secret of Vulcan Fury voice tapes are.
Oh, man.
Because we had Tom, I can't remember his last name, the guy that
Carbone?
Made Aegis. Yeah, the guy that made Aegis, the starship.
No, not Aegis. Artemis.
Artemis, yeah, sorry, not Aegis.
Oh, man.
Artemis. So we had Artemis Tom on, and I said something, he said something about Interplay, and I was like, okay, the Secret of Vulcan Fury tapes, right? Like, where are they? Because nobody knows. And he was like, well, actually, I was lead dev on that game. And it was just like the whole show just stopped, And it's like, oh, my God. But he was telling us, it's like, well, yeah, whenever DeForest Kelly came in and he was doing his voice work, he didn't look really good. And he, died, minutes afterwards or whatever. But that's the last voice stuff that the entire Star Trek cast did before anybody died. And it's been missing. where the hell is it? Because that's – yeah. So if they actually know where that's at, I would like to know. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't have any idea.
But
it's in the filing cabinet.
Yeah, it's in that filing cabinet in the guy's basement.
Right.
So.
Well, congratulations on getting the Descent IP. I would love it if more Interplay IPs came back. Like someone make a new Conquest of the New World.
Oh, there we go. Now, yeah, they're watching this one very carefully, I'm sure.
Well, Magic Carpet, there's a lot of great games.
Oh, Magic Carpet.
But see, somebody's already doing what is that called, Brian? It's a Magic Carpet reboot.
I don't remember.
Under some other.
I know what you're talking about.
Or something.
Yeah, Worlds of Arcania or something like that. I know what you're talking about. Now, this game, how long is this game, how long have you been working on this game? I mean, it was before the Kickstarter, so right?
A little bit, but not much. No. A couple months before the Kickstarter.
Oh, okay, so
a lot of that got scrapped. I mean, most of what you see now has been done in the last 6 months.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because this looks, I was just playing like a test flight by myself, and the controls, I'll just tell you this. I first played Descent 3 last night to get some historical perspective. Uh-huh. Oh my God, that was horrible. it was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, it's one of the most mentally upgraded games ever.
I couldn't hit anything. It was so, and this is just with the mouse and keyboard. I couldn't hit shit. But I load this up, and it's like, oh, this is nice. This is much nicer.
If we could ever get that, we want to get a build out. We got a little single player versus bots thing in there. If we could ever, maybe tomorrow, right, Keith?
That's the plan.
Now, I got to say, I don't know what this particular robot on the stream is called. Yes, Arcane Worlds. Thank you, AC Wraith, in the chat. Arcane Worlds, that's what it's called, Jim.
Okay.
The magic carpet.
I thought it was MFC, magic fucking carpet. And
no,
it'd be like STF.
That's probably a different game. It sounds actually kind of like a porn movie.
I just had a STF.
You got to get, the stains out of the magic fucking carpet. Anyway, I kind of love how this robot is like, ow, my head. Oi, oi, my head. Oi, it hurts. Oi.
Ah, the Panzer.
Yeah, I love how it's just making this. I love how it's just making this. Oi, oi. No, what did I do? I drank so much last night. Oi.
No, it's just you should actually just have like a peekaboo noise whenever it does that.
Those are actually so one of the things we've added, those are actually bastions or shield. It's meant to expand itself and to you can get behind it and go down and takes the damage, absorbs the damage while it's flying down hallways to like, you know, escape and to turn your stuff over to bring. Just it's basically to take the damage to tank. It's
that's cool. So you could have it tank for like if you're playing a team game, right? You put him in the front and he tanks and you rush.
We have 10 ships. Rob can tell you, but they'll have a special.
Oh, not all of them have a special ability.
I like most this. Of them. I like this three wing thing. It kind of looks like
typhoon.
That's what this is called, the typhoon. Yeah, I like. This is my favorite of the three.
It has spin attack.
Huh?
If you hit the F key, it has a spin attack. All the wings spin around while it shoots.
Oh, it does. It doesn't do it in the drone bay when you're in the game.
Oh, it's only in the drone game. Bay.
Yeah. Well, so haven't gotten in the game yet.
So we got three drones right now. We got.
I could be watching this. Where are you at exactly? What's your Twitch channel? Let me get there.
Oh, it's just Space Game Junkie. There's a delay though. There's always a delay on Twitch. You probably know this.
Okay.
Yeah, just that there's a delay of like 15 to 30 seconds.
So somebody made a game. It's called like Screen Cheat or something, and it's a split screen multiplayer thing, but you can't see the other people's ships, so you have to actually cheat and look at their screen to know where they are. It's kind of weird. Something I heard about today, but
that's awesome.
that's pretty funny. Okay. Oh, hello. All right. So how do we start a match, you guys? Let's play this thing out. Let's give it a shot.
Big green quick match button.
Okay. Yeah. Pilot minimum met. Oh, so is that all of us?
We're coming.
Let's see.
Server somebody found. Else who's up there from
are you in
the
Apophis?
Audience, so.
That's, it just said Apothis, yes.
Yeah, I think we're in there together.
Capture the core, or are we playing?
You got a little 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown?
Capture the core.
I just see. Oh, there we go. There we go. 5, 4, 3.
All right, and so Alien Pickle and Brian Rubin. I see. Brian Rubin, what a very creative name.
I know. You know what? I'm in marketing, so I'm my own brand. So basically, I have to put my name.
Call it Toe Jam or something. And still be more independent than Brian Rubin.
I'm stuck in a room. How do I get out of this room?
You got to open the door.
Shoot the door. It's descent.
You can also bump them.
Do the laser. Shoot that right there.
Or you can use your mining laser.
Is this a really new build? Because I was playing, I don't know, like last week or whatever, and it looked way different.
We do a lot of upgrading.
Yeah.
A lot of updating.
Because I like how it feels pretty nice.
There's three maps in this thing right now. And right now, there I am, you and me, battling each other. I'm going to let you kill me because right now you're sitting still. There you go. Your first kill is the wingman.
All right, Brian, you got to ease up on that.
Gang up on
Rob!
Hey,
the hitboxes are tight.
Tiny, small. Okay, yes. Those have been adjusted in the bill we're trying to release tomorrow.
That's going
to
get better.
It's about 50% bigger. So
okay, because I'm whiffing like right past his wing. And I kind of actually appreciate that because the ship's really where it is, right? So
yeah. Well, that's still the case, right? But we're playing with things like convergence. We're thinking about allowing people to set their own convergence, and these are all things we've got to test. And this is exactly why we're going to Steam Early Access. This is exactly why we're doing this with community involvement, so that we can find out what people like and get it right.
So I think I'm out of bullets or something.
Oh yeah,
you can't, go to the recharge zone.
You can totally.
Oh, that's what that
you
is.
Can, you okay. can totally run out of bullets, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah. So in in the original Descent, that was kind of unlimited ammo on the standard laser, right? Or could you run out?
No, there's energy in there still. You had to go to recharge zones.
All right, I don't remember because I was really good at it, maybe, and I just never ran out. I don't.
I think I have to adjust
my
sensitivity.
You didn't last very long.
Maybe
better run, wingman. Yeah.
I have to adjust my mouse sensitivity. A little bit. How do I do that? Oh, God.
Oh, somebody just launched a mega missile.
I heard that.
My son just joined. Winglet is in the game.
Oh, that's your son?
Yeah.
Yeah, Winglet's here.
I was like, someone's in the chat saying they're Winglet. I'm like, who's that? I don't know who that is.
That's my oldest son.
Oh, hi, oldest son. What's his name?
Colton.
Hi, Colton. How you doing?
By the way, you should see what team you're on.
Oh, man. Death from behind.
So in this match here, you can increase your team score by mining.
The kid is spawn camping, Eric.
You raised a little camper. Oh no!
Oh, I killed myself. Good job.
Oh, laser grids! You must have hit the laser grid to deploy.
Probably.
And then you ran into it.
So my mouse is crying. I think I turned the sensitivity up too much.
You've got to turn that down. There's a how to on this, but like. Original Descent and our Descent, because it's a bug in Unreal, it doesn't handle real high DPI mice yet.
Uh-huh.
So that's actually fixed in the newest version, but in this one I believe it's better. But you need to put Tyler was here to tell you. Keith, do you remember what you should set it to?
For the mouse?
Yeah, is it like 0.2 and?
Yeah, you generally want to turn. If you have a high DPI mouse, you want to turn the sensitivity. Scale way down.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Sensitivity power is the curve, so generally you don't want to mess with that unless you're really, really into tweaking
your
settings.
I'll try that. I'll try that. Because mine's like I have to move my mouse all over the place just to get it to move a little bit. So let's try that a little bit.
No, my mouse's feelings were hurt because it was just very sensitive.
I got no help in here in the core.
That's
all
no,
red guys.
That's a weird.
Oh, by the way, that exit button is real. I just found it on the desktop.
Did you exit out, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah. The
super cool
drone
like
bay.
That.
Go to the drone bay. If you want to do that? Or the best thing to do when you're setting you can do your settings.
No, I mean I did it totally by mistake. It was like,
okay,
I hit the wrong button.
You can do free flight. That's the best place to set your.
Man, if the kill streaks are in the version we're playing, but I didn't get it this time.
Well, that's not an alpha. They're not in this one, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The build we've been playing has it in there now, and I just got one.
We're rapidly moving. I mean, this is 6 months' work. I mean, this is I'm pretty proud of the team. They've done a really good job.
Okay, I gotta up my sensitivities again because now it's too low. I'm putting it all the way.
Where did I get the mega?
Did you kill yourself, Rob?
Oh, I just faced myself. I thought it was a homing, and I was right on top of you.
I just picked up a bunch of stuff.
Oh, that's much better. Okay.
That was a very poor choice.
Okay, so I want the scale all the way down at like 0.2 or something.
Yeah, something
like
low.
That. Give that a shot.
Oh, I turned mine all the way up. I like not having to turn the mouse too much.
You got to find your.
You got to find the sweet spot.
Mouse, though. That's actually likely to bite you because the ships are turn speed limited. So if you send too many outputs at the same time, you'll actually move slower.
Oh, I don't know. Seems pretty nice.
Okay, good. It depends on the mouse, honestly. So
yeah, so I've noticed like horizontal is faster than vertical, even if they're set the same. So
yep. Blame Rob for that.
Damn it, Rob.
Blame Sin for that.
By design.
Oh, wait, that's my
totally cheese. A descent thing.
Ah! Oh, almost so close.
That laser grid, but not quite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What the hell is that?
That is a laser grid.
Oh, no! I hate that sound.
What is the laser grid? Is that just a random thing that pops up every now and again?
Oh, no, you put it behind you. Deploy with your tunnels. Tool button.
Yeah, the R key.
R key or your tool button, depending on what you're using.
Gadget button.
Ah, I just went through Rob's.
Yeah, good job, Eric. And thank you.
Good job.
I appreciate the points.
Oh, I see. So it's the R. Oh, I just deployed one. I see.
Yeah, okay. Don't go through them. They're dumb weapons. You can.
Yeah, they will kick your butt.
Yourself.
And they last for 10 seconds, they degrade over time, and they can destroy missiles.
So banged up.
Ooh, lots of power-ups.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Lots of power-ups. I like power-ups. Okay.
Oh, that did not spawn correctly. Why did I spawn in the same room as a red guy? That's not supposed to happen.
Well, maybe he was hanging out.
What's this disco ball thing?
That's a
core. Is the core.
Are we supposed to kill it?
So no, you can mine it.
To increase your stealing rate.
Yeah, you score if you're in this area.
This is to capture the core mode. So we have straight up anarchy, team anarchy, capture the core. Well, team anarchy is not actually in yet, but it's ready.
Woo! Oh, damn. This is very fast paced. I dig it.
Oh, yes. It's straight up arcade shooter.
As it should be.
Our only turn is it fun? We've had discussions on the forum, like, and we say we have a lot of people that really love Descent, including ourselves. And any discussion that starts with it has to be this way because that's the way it was in Descent gets no traction. But any discussion that says it has to be this way because it's fun and here's why, we go, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. All we care about is making the game fun.
Well, this is fun so far.
That's all that matters.
Yes, yeah, I switched over to gamepad and. And I'm in a good place.
Oh, gamepad is
only play on Xbox controller. So.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You can play Xbox. You can play joystick. I play joystick and keyboard. Wasties.
Oh, that's what I should do. But I can't. I'd have to restart the game because nothing's plugged in right now.
Oh no!
Oh, he did it again. I think he's on my team.
Wingless
so
team
grounded.
Killing. Well, he killed me too. So. He killed somebody on his own team.
I also got killed by Winglet. Winglet is mean. I don't like Winglet.
Winglet is a dirty team killer.
Dirty team killer.
It hurts his score, though, just for the record.
Oh, that's good.
Not in the version we're playing right now, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's in this one.
Oh, wait, yes, it is. It is in Capture the Core. No, wait.
Yeah, it's in the patch notes for 995.
Oh.
Hey, so
everybody can tell sometimes.
So this mode is called Capture the Core. Is that like Capture the Flag?
No. That's a different. That's going to be called Minor Mayhem.
Oh, okay. So what is this mode? Later.
So it's more of a King of the Hill mode.
King of the Hill. Nah. It's
more I really.
Hardpoint.
Yeah, hardpoint.
So which is it? It's like the Mega Missile that's got the smiley face on the front of it.
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's a nice throwback to Unreal Tournament.
It's also, you know, it's powerful. And
hey, three kills. Yay!
Obviously, we need to do some balancing on this since Wingman just sat there and scored points by not doing anything at all.
I did. A one kill and six deaths. No, that was mining the core.
Yeah, I know. So it must be unbalanced.
No.
How many game modes will there be when this thing finally drops?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
In the long run, there will be lots.
Oh, I like that. I like the sound of lots.
Right now
we've got Minor Mayhem. We got Capture the Core. Oh, keep chasing me, son.
Is Anarchy, is that just Deathmatch?
Yeah, that's just straight up, you know.
Oh, no, the server filled up.
Oh, am I not in with you guys?
You're in with some of them.
I'm here with you guys.
I'm just not in. I got there too late.
I'm about to die, though.
Ooh, should be able to.
That's a mining beam, I guess, huh?
Everybody kill everybody. And this is a different map. This is Mobius.
This is a cool map. I like how rocky. Oh, yes.
Again, these are mines and asteroids. There's a story here, right?
Who's Beetleface?
Somebody Beetleface needs... is one of our backers.
Yeah, we're a live game now, so we've let our alpha. We started playing this game in July and started having real or August actually, having a lot of fun, and we went, man, let's let it's real stable. Let's let our backers in. So we let our backers in. We've let alpha and beta people in, and I think tomorrow we're letting the rest of the people in that are back. And...
Oh, wow, really? That's pretty
good. Yeah, why not? I mean, it's already fun.
That's true. And this gives you a lot of data to test with.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Alien Pickle upside down.
So how is it that I do the special thing? Like, I've got the peekaboo drone, right? And how do I...
Are you on a controller? Or are you on
controller?
Then that would be currently. I believe that's on the B button. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, you did it. You're doing it now. There you go. You're doing it right
yeah,
now.
I just have no indication that I did it.
There should be a little green light flashing down there on the.
Oh, the blast shield lower left. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Someone's been practicing, and it hasn't been me.
That would
However,
be...
it's not protecting your anus, which I'm hitting right now.
Whoever this Beetleface fella is.
He's not playing
pretty,
nice.
Pretty solid dude right there. Oh shit! Oh,
so on the thing where you put the blast shields down, it would be actually pretty cool if the blast shields actually did cover your screen, but then you had like a little window to look through.
We did cover the screen.
Yeah, it did do that.
We didn't have the it just didn't look right.
Got Beetleface. Like,
okay, again, playing the peekaboo game.
Alpha,
yeah,
we got a lot of we're still
What are you doing?
Oh, because I was just thinking, like, if you put that thing up, like the downside of it is it screws up your view, so you're looking down like a paper towel tube.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you use the mining laser on the core, you get points a lot faster.
There's no core on this one though. But
yes,
you're in
a
different map.
You're not
in our game, Rob. You're in a different game.
I'm in with Hitman.
Yeah, but we got Alien Pickle and Brian's in this one.
Huh.
Oh, shit. So right now there are three of these drones. How many are you planning for the final? Oh, damn, Beetleface. Fuck you. Okay, how many are you planning for the final game? I see five total here. Is that the
1.0
plan?
There's nine classes.
Ten, technically.
Yeah.
Ten. Well, one's the torch and then whatever we call the torch light. It's
Yeah, but those are both the same basic class. They're just different.
I'm feeling cosmetically different. I'm feeling some capture the flag. I think that would be my mode.
Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
And that's going to be minor. So if you remember the minor rescues where you fly through the miners and pick them up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So our plans right now are the miners or the flags. You're going to be called to rescue. You're going to go pick them up. They're going to grab a rope on the bottom of the ship, and they're going to ragdoll behind you, bitching at you the whole way back to the base.
Oh, that's cool. Great.
Can you, if you're on the other team, can you, like, splat the miners then?
Oh, why not? Kill them, take them off. I mean, that's all – we're still working out the details, but we just think it's going to be fun. That's our capture the flag. We plan to play homage.
Homage.
And then still be siding on this side of – all right.
Three kills.
So how did you decide, like, Descent is the game that you're going to make? Like
Descent?
Did it come up around the table one day? Like, hey, we should do Descent.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, we were talking about our favorite old games.
We went to a place called, it's not there anymore, it's called Freddy's. We sat outside under a big oak tree. I think we had lunch and we talked about, okay, we want to form a company, we want to form a group, and... You know, what's the game we want to make? So we batted around a bunch of game types, and this was the one that we all were like, yeah, Descent. Descent's it. And so
Descent is pretty awesome.
That's kind of how we decided. It's like so much fun. Everybody remembered how much fun it was, and why the hell isn't it still out there? Why is this game type not being played?
Now, one of the big deals about the original Descent, one thing that people loved about it are the level editors and the mods. How friendly are you guys going to be toward level editors and mods for Underground here? I mean, it's built on Unreal, I believe you said, right?
Unreal 4.
Well, then that's already, like, I would think, very friendly.
So we're going to Steam Early Access, and as soon as we can, we'll be supporting mod maps, mod everything. I mean, Yeah. We're definitely mod friendly. We want user created content in our game.
Oh, good, good.
That's one of the reasons we chose Unreal 4, to be honest.
Oh, good, because I remember playing Descent 2 is my jam. That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
Descent 2. And so I remember playing for years just all these maps and shit that people made, even just with bots. But because I was never big into multiplayer for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah. Can we get Terminal Velocity next?
Oh,
that would be.
Oh, yes.
That's a good game.
Oh, I love Terminal Velocity.
Brian, you're in Capture the Core again. Beetleface is actually on your team.
Wait, what was that?
Beetleface is on your team. Notice the color of your ship up top.
Oh, okay.
And your name.
He still killed me.
That's the Mega Missile
right now.
Oh, I heard that. That was great.
Yeah, that kills everybody.
Now, you know what someone really needs to bring back? Terra Nova, the Looking Glass game. That's what someone needs to bring back in my freaking.
Oh, crap. Yeah, like they just put it on GOG, like what, about a year ago?
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, and it's awesome, but
about GOG is it's cool, but if I would like to see a lot of these remastered because the code still all works, it just needs to have better graphics. I mean, some of the kids today have never seen these really cool games, you know, and they're not going to play some of the old graphics, nostalgic bits like us will, but you know, my 16-year-old's going to be like, eh, no.
Yeah, because you know. Kids today,
but the thing is, then
yeah, those kids.
You know,
but then these kids all play Minecraft and shit. It's
yeah,
like, wait a minute,
you know what?
You're all about graphics, but
when I was your age, I played Atari Adventure in the snow.
Sure,
you know,
both ways.
You whippersnappers don't even
bridge,
understand video games.
Dude, I found the invisible dot and got up to the true story.
What?
The designer, Andrew, I can't think of his last name, stuck his name.
See, that's another thing we want to bring back. You know, you just talked about the invisible dot. Like, remember when you flew into map rooms that were made by mods and you could see their name on the wall and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You'd have a secret room to find. Secrets. We want secret rooms. We want tunnels to drill through. It's all the stuff that, you know, remember you going through, like, Wolfenstein and banging on the wall until you found the secret entrances?
Oh, yeah. There's a game like that now that has a lot of secret rooms. It's called... Bloodlust, what the fuck is it called? Bloodlust something, hang on.
Yeah, the Bloodlust, yeah. The roguelike vampire thing.
Oh, it's so good. It's also built on Unreal. Bloodlust Shadowhunter.
Yeah.
Cool. There's actually a skill in that game that lets you see secret rooms and walls that you wouldn't be able to otherwise. It's great. And it's a roguelike, so it's like this first-person roguelike thing.
Yep.
It's so great.
Like sub-level zero is a roguelike.
And it's $13. It's so affordable and so fun.
Oh, is that what that's... I haven't actually played it very much, so... Sub-level.
Oh, sub-level zero or
yeah,
the other one?
Yeah, sub-level. It's actually a roguelike?
Yeah?
Yeah, it's roguelike procedural levels. It's single
player.
Wait,
I'm shooting my own person.
Oh, weird. So that is an interesting coincidence, though, that, like, two groups of people make a Descent game at the same time, like, years
yeah,
of nothing,
well,
and then suddenly,
it.
Pow.
Yeah.
So
now they're everywhere.
Well, it's, yeah, we would rather than not be, but, you know, but, I mean...
But you guys got the name. It's going to be...
Yes, we do. We do.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I you guys should just, like, you know, hyperspace bro fist and like, team up. It'll be like Power Rangers, but there's two of you.
But we do, you know, we do like a maybe do a dual pack or something. You get them both.
There we go.
Ooh, lots of pretties. I love the power ups. I love the announcer too. I miss games like Unreal Tournament with the announcer headshot. You know, well,
that voice is me.
Oh really?
It's totally temporary, and it's been replaced.
It's gone.
But it's still there. We still have a voice, but it's more of a, you know, a computer kind of more. You know, more akin to the sci-fi than what.
Yeah, you know. a lot better sounding than saying.
Yeah, like Eric. Laser grid.
Yeah, was, actually, the funny thing about that is that originally it was just Eric reading the lines, and we had to go in there and crank down the pitch on them so they didn't sound like Eric reading the lines.
Yeah, we all got tired of hearing me on the line. Yeah, and we did that for like. It's funny because we were playing the game at I think it was August, and there's Winglet. All right, you're gonna die, kid. We're playing the game in August, having a blast,
Ooh.
Uh-huh, he left the little
present. I heard that siren.
Yeah, I missed it. But and we were like, man, this is really fun. Let's go to Rooster Teeth. That was Keith's idea. We went to RTX. And we put a few voices in there to give, you know, the touch of what's going on. Because, you know, this can be a disoriented game. There is a learning curve in how to play. So we wanted, but we took it there. And, man, we had moms coming by. We had 12-year-olds. We had universally it was loved. Over, you know, probably 1,000-plus people. 2-hour wait to use the Oculus Rift. And we knew at that point, we're like, all right, we got something here. People really still like it. We're excited about it. So, you know, we still think we have – people are going to go Nazi or crazy. Nazi is a terrible word. I shouldn't use that. People are going to go, like, crazy fun on this game. They're just going to love it.
Damn it, Winglet.
Yeah, the one problem I was trying to figure with the controller is, like, up and down. Because the way that I would typically play Descent is, like, you know, you hide at, like, the lip of something and then pop up, do your shooting, and get back down. But because that's on – you know, like the Y and A buttons. It was like, I guess, like if there was a way that I could actually make the right stick also do up and down.
You can do that. You can configure it however you want.
Yeah.
That's in already. You can do that right now. Yeah, that's.
Doesn't cost extra. It's not like control DLC.
Jesus.
That's a great idea.
Are you gonna have day one DLC? And also maps, right? Like, you have to release... Oh, Season Pass. That's it.
We're not doing Season Pass. But, you know, since we are letting users create maps, we'll probably do map packs, like DLC, for people to buy, because we want to monetize the community. If somebody, you know, some 12-year-old girl in Kiev, Ukraine, makes badass maps, you know, why not?
If you guys really want to call back to the 90s, right... You have to sell the map packs. It's like 300 maps on a CD.
we're parking it back. We're also going to probably, you know, at some point we'll probably do like a shareware. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It'd be like the shareware CD and like the 300 Duke Nukem levels on that they downloaded off the internet.
Why not? I mean, I don't think that just because people want to do micros and all this other stuff now, I don't think that really needs to change. That still works. I think people still play that.
Oh, here's something.
Oh, yeah.
It is with great concern that I stand before you today and ask that you hear my words and act.
That's awesome.
I had to whip that out.
Is that from Star Lancer?
Yeah, that's the Star Lancer.
It is. But that's a senator's speech, I think, before the – I believe that's before – in the intro, right?
Yeah, I just hit install.
Installer. See, hey, Keith, that's what I want to do for all in our installer. I want to put a speech together and
okay.
Have that playing for the
sideways laser grid.
Have some lore going.
Yeah. I do remember back in the day when they like had to install a game from disk, and sometimes like I think one of the Command and Conquer games did this where like had a newsreel playing or whatever.
Sure.
Battlezone, I think, did it as well.
Yeah, Battlezone was super cool for that.
Why don't you take the time to make the experience as palatable as possible? I mean, our game doesn't take that long to download, but you know what? It's still kind of fun. And if it's just the launcher, you have to launch the game with the launcher, so you can always have some playing or have some music.
You know, that's a game that needs a second life, man, is Battlezone.
They're getting one. Aren't they revamping the original game?
I don't know. It's up where you can download it. Like the
No. I think I forget the name of the company, but I think they're gonna be releasing an HD remaster.
Oh wow! Because people were still cranking out mods.
We're red.
Two kills, yay me!
I won with zero kills.
How did that happen?
I mined the core, man. I mined the core.
I have to figure that out.
You got to use your mining laser.
I don't think I have a mining laser.
Everybody does.
Oh, what's the button for that?
If you hit Z and X, it'll cycle your tools, and that will let you change which one you're using.
Oh, that's what was throwing me. Okay. Yes, Darkwing said Descent Levels of the World. There were at least a couple of those for Descent.
Somebody did that. I actually had that box of somebody put together a buttload of levels that were illegal, and Interplay forced them to pull it off the shelf, but I got a copy of the box.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, there's the mining laser. Okay.
Hey, Darkwing. Darkwing was actually in our office today.
Really?
Yeah. He came. He just popped in and said hi, so we hosted him and said hello and let him play the game a little bit. Yeah.
So someone in the chat channel said asked about the possibility of third-person views.
Yeah, observer views. We got that. I think we have it turned off right now.
What about some Oculus?
It's already in, but we're probably going to pull it out because it's not completely what's the word I'm looking for? It's not optimized yet. So it probably won't be there for early access. But
This will be so – there are so many people who are just going to get vomitous.
I was going to say it needs to – you know what? That would be the best, right? Like the packaging. Just the game ships in a barf bag.
Oh, that would be cool. We actually – it's funny. We had that at RTX. We talked about that, and we were filming people playing it, and we called the camera that was on them filming it. We called it Vomit Cam, so it's fun.
No, I never vomited, though, although some people did get close.
There were a couple of people that had to pull it off, but most of them were, like, just smiling and having a great time. So.
That's good. Where is everybody?
Yeah, did you guys see that somebody did, like, a tech demo thing? It was, like, a mech game for Oculus. And it's basically like that movie Robot Jocks, right? Where you're like up in the robot's head, but it's this kid wearing an Oculus and he's like freaking out because, you know, you're in a robot. And I don't know. That's the stuff I'm looking to VR for is that kind of just stuff that you've always wanted to do. Like I want to be in the cockpit of something. Not the sex thing. No, I mean That's really? Going to be what actually makes it, right? But, well, yeah, Oculus Rift is like
the internet is
brown bag because it's 2 a.m. It doesn't matter, you know, because I put my Oculus on and you're anybody I want. Yeah, I went there.
All right, I'm going to chase Brian through the hall here. I'm going to let you. I think you guys are in separate games right now. Both in battle.
Probably. That's cool that there are enough people playing that we can get separate games. I thought.
Oh yeah. It's still early too. We haven't even, you know, probably less than 1,500 or so have gotten it. But it's, you know, we've got to ramp it up. You know, stability tests and stress testing. So the voice for the new pickups will be the same voice you hear when you charge.
Oh, so they're kind of that female. Computery voice.
Yep.
Right on.
Someone is charging. Whoa.
I'm charging my laser.
Whoa, Winglet just shot me the bigger. Yeah, you missed him, didn't you, pal?
Oh, you guys are in Valor?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a cool map.
That was actually built by one of the members of the community.
Really?
A member of our advisory board.
The white person, we took it to the...
Oh, lots of tight corners and.
So speaking of older games and Freelancer, Star Lancer, I was telling Brian before you guys came on. I bought this like 34-inch. It's like a 3440 by 1400 monitor, and it's a little tough sometimes running those old 800 by 600 games. They get a little out of ratio, but anyway, I fired up Freelancer last night, and there was a mod, that Crossfire 2 mod, and it runs Freelancer at 3440. And it's a sight to behold.
This game at 4K.
Yeah? Yeah, because this was doing fine. I'm getting, like, pretty nice frame rates. It's, you know, Unreal 4, right? So.
Yeah.
So
I took the Mega, and then somebody came in and took me down, which now has the Mega.
So in Unreal,
in
Unreal 3, there was like this weird joystick bug that I've noticed. Like I have to unhook my gamepad if I play an Unreal 3 thing that I'm using keyboard and mouse because my character will just kind of spin. And did they get rid of that in 4? Because that seems to be like a thing that just always happens in Unreal 3.
I have to think so. We haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Hello, Laser Grid.
I got to remember I have those.
They're brutal. And they're
here's,
awesome.
Here's a new player, Smarthy. I have no idea who that is.
Yep, Smarthy.
They figured out that this devs played and they're all jumping in.
Well, it's fun to, you know, it's fun to get in and... you're on the stream, you can go to DescendantStudios.com and get it too.
That's right. Mark? So when is this hitting Steam?
Yeah, soon. That's a great question.
Soon PM.
Soon PM.
Soon PM. Trademarked.
Sooner than like, soon trademarked.
We were like it really quickly, but it's all going to depend on stability and stress tests. So.
Damn.
As late as next month, who knows?
Well, that's fine as long as it works. Oh, geez. Oh, damn.
See, it's fun already. That's the key.
It is fun.
It's been totally. Pretty stable.
Yeah. So what kind of single-player action are we looking at here?
Yes.
It's going to start out a little thin, but that's once we get this rolling out and people can play multiplayer at least, we're going to start focusing on single-player a lot more.
Oh, yeah, good.
Single-player is the next thing. We want to
do a campaign, a full campaign.
You got to get the guy who did the voice of the original, the second and third games. Whoever that guy was, you know. It's
I was talking somebody last night.
No, get Box, Brian Blessing.
Bruce Boxleitner. Yeah.
Bruce Boxleitner, that's who it was.
Oh, that really? Was Bruce Boxleitner?
I think so, yeah.
Oh. That wouldn't surprise me. Those Parallax/Volition guys knew how to get good voice talent. I mean, they had Ronnie Cox in Free Space 2. How awesome is that?
So, Brian, the guy on the Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema podcast.
The Hooty Wuddy Hooty?
It's a podcast that I listen to. He is actually Bruce Boxleitner's nephew. So
what?
Yeah, so we could do the reach out and make it happen.
I thought you were gonna say reach something else.
The reach around. Hey, yeah, hey, looking it up right we'll give now. Tron the reach around and no.
Can we complain about Tron Legacy to him and what a pile of shit that was?
No, it was a good all right.
No, it wasn't.
Del Hoyo. Okay, that's Descent 2 and 3. George Del Hoyo.
Interesting.
Is that who you looked it up?
He's Material Defender in 2 and 3. I'm looking up 1 right now.
Ah, yeah, that guy. That guy had a voice.
Well, again, you know, we have the rights to the name. We don't have the rights to the assets like the maps and the pyro because those are owned by different people.
But we certainly can get the voices.
Who the hell is Haskell? Swarthy, you son of a bitch. I don't know who you are. God, I hate you.
It's amazing how easily you can
get people you've never met.
Who are you? I must know your name. Who are you that flies?
I get the Nemesis achievement in there. Oh no! Do not quote the Privateer intro to me.
My son keeps running for me, but he's not dropping. He must learn the nature of the laser grid. He's not.
So Eric, you had nothing to do with Privateer 2, did you? You had nothing to do.
The Darkening. No, I was working on another Privateer 2 before marketing named Darkening Privateer 2. So. We were doing it with Tracy Hickman, and we had a whole other story with Loki. And it's actually very close to the Avengers story, which is funny.
Really?
Yeah. We had Loki that had escaped, and we were writing it with Tracy Hickman, new from Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman. And Chris was I was associate producer and designer on it. Yeah. He got killed by Chris and I left. Then they renamed Aaron's game, which was the Darkening.
Which makes no sense.
Privateer had a long and sordid history.
Yeah, Rob, didn't you work on Privateer?
I worked on Privateer online for a year. Right.
Wait. Hold the fucking phone. You worked on Privateer online?
Yes. Yeah. We had that under development and initial design for about 6 or 7 months. We had a 300-page design document.
It's called Star Citizen now. It's been a long time.
It is. Yes,
actually, that was when I first signed on Star Citizen. That's kind of what I was thinking was, well, now I can do all the things I wanted to do with Privateer Online.
And when that was canceled, I was crushed.
Star Citizen's been canceled?
No.
Privateer Online.
Privateer Online.
Oh, that's going to cause rants galore now.
Oh, I was teasing, obviously.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, Jumpgate kind of filled that void for a while. I don't know if you guys played that one.
I liked Jumpgate.
It's all right. I played a little.
But now we got Allegiance.
I just like the space games are coming back.
Oh, thank God, right?
Yep.
I had no idea. I had no idea either. I had no clue. Like, I started the blog in 2011, and I thought I was going to be talking about old games the whole time. That's kind of why I started the damn blog. Hey, 5 kills. Go me.
You're getting the hang of it.
Damn. But I had no idea we'd start seeing, like, a year later, Star Citizen. What? Chris Roberts is back in games?
Yeah,
what?
That's cool.
Yeah, so actually, Brian and I decided to do this podcast, right? And so we were like, well, who are we going to get for our first guest? Oh, I don't know. And then it was like, oh, hey, Chris Roberts wants to...
We had him on episode number 4.
Yeah,
that dude's badass.
We had no clue what we were doing.
And I had even a worse cough than I do now. My microphone was muted most of the time while Jim, thankfully.
Yeah, and Chris, they were setting up the Austin office, so Chris is there, and like the cleaning staff came in, and they're like emptying the trash cans behind
him
and stuff.
Are you sure it was just Chris alone? Or was
it was just Chris.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I ran the Austin office.
He talked for about 45 minutes just about the movie.
Yeah, because
I remember you guys talking to him. I remember him sitting at his desk and doing it. I remember the day. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
So, hey, guys, I got to run.
Okay, yeah, we saw that.
But I don't know if you saw the other note that I popped in there.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't think I did.
I seen
there's a top
note. Ooh, okay. Oh, I'm going to.
All right. So, hey, have a good night, guys, and
thanks for hanging out with us, Keith.
All right, cool, man.
I will do a get.
Now, guys. It looks like we don't have to give away the pudding. So,
Is he giving away some stuff again? Keith!
$240 worth of pudding.
We just got a Steam key for Descent Underground, so we're going to have to figure out a giveaway that goes along with this podcast somehow.
Oh, the pressure is on now.
God damn it. I'm not good at designing giveaways. I'm not good at it. I don't know how to do it. I just come up with random shit. Like, how do I do this? Okay, we'll just
give away
shit. I don't know.
You put it on eBay.
No, that's a great idea.
It's the eBay giveaway.
Just put it on eBay as a giveaway. Yeah. Is that technically called?
It's point one. I'll put it up as a penny, but the reserve price will be $100. So no one will get the reserve.
Or you can go to Descendant Studios and get a
collection. Yeah, because they just come to our website. It's cheaper there.
You need to pay
$100. Damn it. My plan is ruined.
Curses me.
I would have succeeded, too, if it wasn't for those pesky developers.
Yeah, those pesky kids. Now get in my van and don't buy some speakers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You got those guys driving around all the way. Hey, you guys want some speakers? No.
So there's a pretty big
dude in a white van. You got any candy?
So there is a pretty big gaming community, a development community in Austin, isn't there?
Huge, monstrous. I believe it's the second largest one behind Seattle in the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
There are tons of games here.
That's great. I've only been to Austin a few times, but I mean, if I had to move anywhere besides LA, that'd probably be my first choice.
LA's okay. It's just the traffic. I just can't deal with this.
Yeah, most people. I have people come out to visit, and then they're like, oh, we're just going to go a couple miles this way. I'm like, that's about half an hour. What do you mean? It's only 2 to 3 miles. Yeah, it's about a half an hour.
God.
Yeah, people just like, how do you deal with this? You get used to it because LA is so awesome.
You must have the patience of Job.
Well, that's why I'm surprised that the flying car has not been invented.
Oh, dude.
Invented, it's just not stable.
Well, dude, LA drivers can barely handle two dimensions. Let's not give them a third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let them play Descent.
60 yeah. OF commuting. That sounds awesome.
Oh, I mean, I mean the drivers here, you guys know, you've been here. They're terrible. They're terrible. They're the worst. I've heard they're worse in Boston. I've never been to Boston, but I've heard they're worse there. But no, I really don't know. So
I spent 2 years in LA. It was not pretty to drive there.
No, it's not. And they purposely gutted public transportation here so people would have to drive. At least that's the nice conspiracy theory that everyone has.
Why would anyone want to do that?
because apparently the conspiracy theory is the car companies want everyone in L.A. to drive everywhere. So for a while, L.A. had an amazing trolley system, amazing public transit system, and they just gutted it. They made sure it was gutted so people would have to own cars. That's the popular conspiracy theory around these parts.
Nice.
Because, yeah, you have to have a car in L.A. But if you have a car, you like driving. That helps a lot.
Yes.
That helps a lot.
I drove a standard in L.A. for both my years there. So.
Yeah, my girlfriend for a while, until last year, had a stick. I don't know how she did it. My leg would fall off. I don't know how she did it, driving LA traffic with a stick.
So have you ever been to Raleigh? We have a
love Raleigh Durham. Yeah, love the train.
We have a little bit of a dev community going here.
Yeah, there's Epic's there.
Yeah, it's like you may have heard of some but they
it was also Epic was there and. The Rainbow Six guys.
Yeah, Red Storm's here. Red Storm, and then we got Funcom is here.
Is Red Storm still around?
Yeah.
Yep.
They didn't.
Oh, that's right. They're doing that new Tom Clancy game. They're doing that new Tom Clancy game, right?
Yeah, I think. Is it Red Storm that's working on the new MMO shootery thing? It's like Tom Clancy's.
It's like Rainbow Six Rogue or something like that.
Oh, we saw that at RTX. It looked pretty dang.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's the other, that's the Rainbow Six thing. I'm thinking about the, that like open world thing.
Oh,
they're doing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing that has tablet integration and all that stuff.
I think that's what's going on here, but I don't know. But yeah, my buddy Bruce worked on Ghost Recon 1 and 2.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a question, harkening back to the old days of Descent. Is there going to be a thief bot?
Bob?
Well. Because
I hated and I loved the thief bot.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Descent also have like a
Descent 3 had a helper bot.
Yeah, the helper bot. That's what I was thinking about. Because I was thinking about it was like a Zelda
Guidebot, yes. Yeah. The Guidebot was great.
Yeah.
It was the Zelda fairy, man. It was,
yeah.
Yeah.
The part of it is that our goal is to make the multi-role ships kind of fill those roles. So, for instance, the engineer ship actually can steal other ships' power-ups, so you can run around and be the thief bot. So that's one way we're going to handle it. But then again, there will be AI versions of those ships in single player. So yes, you could run into a thief bot or a guide bot.
Ooh, very, very nice.
The scout ship's supposed to be able to map ahead for you. So that would be the same.
Now, if I recall, the AI for the first two games was pretty damn good.
Yeah, we've just really scratched the surface of our AI, but it's already, we had to dumb it down. It was too hard.
Oh, really?
We got the A part in there.
Yeah. Pretty fucking great. No, I gotta say, guys, I'm really excited about this. I mean, I love the first two Descent. I mean, I'm one of those guys that don't think Descent 3 is a real Descent game because it wasn't it wasn't Parallax. So you know,
well, like, you know that story, right? They broke off.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually had some of the former Parallax Volition guys on a little while ago to talk about Free Space 2. Oh my god, that was amazing!
Are they doing another Free Space?
Oh god, I wish. No, I think the license is in legal limbo. No, somebody owns it, but it's not them.
Yeah, that's very tricky licensing there. Huh?
Interplay owns it.
No, somebody else owns it. I think someone bought it. I don't remember the name, but I think some other.
Oh, maybe when they had that. THQ buyout?
Yeah, some other company who I've never heard of. I can't remember the name now, but I think they own the Free Space license, but nothing's being done with it. It's like, what? I mean, you have one of the best space combat games ever made. Come on. Give me Free Space 3. I'm sorry, folks. I will shit my pants if they ever announce a Free Space 3. I will lose all bowel control. Just free, like, puddle of piss and shit. I won't care. I'll be like, oh!
I have to get a new chair.
Yeah, I have to get a new chair, clean the carpet, pull the cats away out of under the bed because I'll be too terrified. But yeah, it's really great. It's great to see not only older properties like this come back, but to be treated with such love and reverence, which is definitely – you can definitely tell that's what you guys are doing here.
Well, we had to – you know, the funny thing is we had two of the best Descent pilots in the world. They still play, like, the older games. Rangers come in and be in our office for an entire week while we worked on flight mechanics.
Just really?
To make sure, just to make sure that we nailed the flight mechanics, like Descent 1 and 2.
Oh, my God.
So they came in and we worked – and they're both PhDs in mathematics. So we worked on this thing together, and we got the flight just right. In fact, she is the one who designed that kind of that map we're playing, which is
the industrial-looking one, Valley.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, and she's got another one called Tomcat we need to get to, too, Rob, at some point.
Tomcat.
Why do I keep calling it Tomcat?
Because you're you.
Yeah. It's funny because Rob, they give me crap. They toy with me because they know my memory sucks. And so they go, no, you said this yesterday. And I'm like, did I say that yet?
It works.
Well, let me ask you one last question before we wrap it up. Once this hits 1.0, once development on this winds down, might there possibly be any chance to try Conquest 2 again?
I will never say never, dude. It's one that's very close to my heart, and we've got it about 50% of the way there. We obviously have to. I mean, we were adding the Virium. We still got Hannigan's Virium music, which is, you know, it might even be out there on GOG. I'm not sure, but we've got the Virium in. We've got all the things designed. We've got them all balanced. We just need to create the campaign around it and the voices and stuff. So it's about a year and a half's worth of work. But I would love to. I'm just not sure RTS games are. You know, do people play them anymore? I mean,
it's tough to say. I mean, there have been a few. More pure RTS games that have come out recently, like Grey Goo and stuff. Well, and they didn't really make that much of an impact. And it was interesting, Three Moves Ahead, I'm sure you know that podcast. I haven't listened to it yet, but they just did a podcast called The State of the RTS.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I tell you what, I think that what I think might happen with the RTS is as tablets get better, it might move to tablets. Because
that would be a natural progression. I mean, as long as
yeah, I mean, I could see Conquest right now. I'm pretty sure we could port it to an iPad or a Windows tablet. I'm sure it would work great.
Yeah, I listened to that episode today actually, and what they were talking about is that all the companies that come out with an RTS game, like if you look at the numbers, it's like the you know like 2% of people that buy the games actually play competitively online. But everybody comes out with, hey, here's our new competitive online RTS. You know, so it's kind of like, well, they're losing the player base because they don't actually have a narrative in there.
See, exactly. So that's one of the tricks for what we're doing here is that's why we're making it fun. Now, we have a competitive plan for the future, but first you got to get it fun and core for the people that are just the brand new that are going to play the game. And then the folks that want to take it competitively we'll let them rank themselves up, and we'll create a ranking system, and all that will happen for them. But in the meantime, it's got to be fun for just, you know, John Q, who jumps in and plays.
Exactly. But, I mean, RTS, I think Tom Chick says, is a tricky thing because you're basically making multiple games.
Yes.
Which is true. You're making the single-player game. You're making the skirmish game. And that's one thing I love about Conquest, going back to that, is the skirmish game with the random maps is still so playable.
Dude, We released a patch for Conquest 6 years after we shipped it.
I know. I was so – I remember that. I remember being so shocked and delighted because I still have my disc. I mean, I brought it on GOG.
We put Nightmare AI in there. We put like – we upped the number, the command points numbers. I mean, we just – you know, there's so much more to do in that game. Like black holes, there's so much more to put in there. Planets – we have – the next one we have planets that you can blow up. Planets that you can terraform. There's so much more we could do. I would love to revisit it. You know, maybe we'll be able to take that style of gameplay from what we're doing now. But I mean, we've got years of work ahead of us in this. We've got the first one will be done within you know 6-8 months. But we have a long term plan of making you know putting gravity turrets, tanks, mechs, all those different things as we get successful. Hopefully with this game, we want to build upon it. We want to build the kernel first. Plant the ground, take this to Descent license as far as we can.
Right, of course. No, that makes sense. I always have hope in my heart.
I see you're on the Conquest boards, Brian. I see you there.
Yeah, I lurk a bit.
That's okay. I mean, I love Conquest too.
Yeah. I try telling people about it because I when I mention it to people, they're like, oh, that was a thing? I'm like, oh my God, it's the best thing. What are you talking about?
Well, so, it's funny because I can't say I will do it again because if I do, people feel like, oh yeah, you tried it once already. I'm like, yeah, but you know, I can't. I'm not made of money.
Well, you know. Interesting thing about that, the Kickstarter that I mentioned earlier that just eked by today, that was his second attempt at a Kickstarter for that game. The first one was failed.
You know what we could do is we could maybe do this as a community project, though. I've thought about like taking it and doing it with just volunteers and just, you know, taking time and making it right because the code's already there, the people are already around, we just have to up-res the, you know, graphics and yeah, I think it would be a fun project, but I don't have time for that right now.
I know, but there'd be people that would do that. I mean, look at the community around, again, Free Space 2. I mean, there's still such a vibrant community around that because the source code got released. Just like with Conquest, the source code.
We released the source code, yep, we sure did.
Which is so great. Is anyone doing anything with that?
I don't know. I think there's a couple guys that did some mods, but I'm not sure anybody's picked it up and done anything. Like, I mean, you could literally make an RTS out of that. And you can make the thing about Conquest that a lot of people it's much more sophisticated than normal RTS because of the fighting on multiple maps and the ability.
Yeah. And the need for supply and the Admiral AI and there's all this nuance to it.
But we took a long time to make it easy to play. Still, you know, we made sure that like we give voice cues for like you can put an Admiral in a fleet, drop him in a map, and say seek and destroy, and he'd go off and do his thing. And if you go back and manage your resources in another base, and the Admiral can say under fire, and all you had to do is go spacebar, and it takes you right there. So it's like we put a whole lot of thought into how to use your experience in that to make it to.
And you can tell because the you can totally tell because the interface is just fantastic.
Thank you. That was fun to do. We had a very good team working on that. That's RV Guard, I think, did that.
Yeah, I mean that's why it's still my favorite space RTS, probably my favorite RTS of all time.
And it didn't sell as well as it should have. I think it should have been a bigger game.
It should have been a huge hit because RTSs were still popular at that time.
Yeah, if Microsoft, they bought our company Digital Anvil, and then they picked a couple games. They were just not a great buyout. It was not like it was acrimonious kind of. So they wanted Freelancer. They wanted the other one. Conquest was nearly done, but they were kind of pissed off at how long some of the things were taking. So they just kind of set it aside thinking it wouldn't be there. And then we got great ratings. And a lot of people at Microsoft were going, why didn't we do that? Because if we'd had Microsoft's marketing muscle behind us, that game would have been huge. You've had another Age of Empire.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. If they had marketed that thing like they marketed Age of Empires, holy shit.
Well, Microsoft did for us and not complaining because you know they still helped us get it out. But they put two print ads and that was it. And it still sold 300,000 copies.
Right.
I still have a bunch of copies, though, by the way. I have a ton of them.
Really? Like boxed copies?
Yeah, I have the boxed copies. And I bought – every time I'd see Star Lancer on sale for like $2.99 CompUSA or whatever, I'd clean them out. I still have a bunch of those. You know, well, come on, man, you know.
Oh, I would love to see Star Lancer and again Crimson Skies. You know what game I really want to see on GOG? It's not a Microsoft game though. All this BattleTech stuff lately has got me thinking about. Remember Mission Force Cyberstorm?
I never played that one.
Oh,
was it good?
Oh God, it's one of the best top-down turn-based mecha games you can get. Random maps, so much customization. The thing is, they didn't market it well. And the Star Siege / Earth Siege universe was never. No,
you know what happened, right? Is as the whenever they came out with Star Siege 3, they shipped this little game called Tribes with it. And they were just like, yeah, whatever, here's Tribes, just throw that in there.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it so eclipsed the main Star Siege universe that nobody remembered it, like 5 minutes after Tribes came out.
Yeah. Well, it was also where they changed the name. It was Earth Siege.
Yeah, now Earth Siege. They changed it to Star Siege was good stuff.
That was.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all great games. All
except for that. Except for that one, never popular, which was basically just multiplayer mechs in an arena thing, which was weird. Nobody does. It was.
I don't remember that.
It was weird. It came on like a floppy disk.
Yeah.
It was a very small thing. Yeah. But anyway, yes.
Well, gentlemen, that sounds like a good time to wrap up. We've been gone for almost an hour and a half, which is awesome. So Eric and Rob and Keith left, but say thanks to Keith for helping arrange this also.
Yes.
I want to thank you guys for taking time out of your evening, not only to talk about Descent, but Conquest. I was so happy to get you guys on because Conquest.
Yeah. So can I get a high res patch for Star Lancer? Like it only goes up to 1024, right? And then this monitor, it's just not gonna fly.
No doubt. You know when you do play Star Lancer, I'm the voice of the trainer.
Jim,
so
I
you
think,
go through the training session.
I just
Jim,
got
I think
it.
We'll
working.
Have to try and get that working
so,
for Thursday.
Yeah. Totes, it's happening.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So I don't know. We'll
get it working as well.
Is there a way to force it to play in a window?
Oh, thank you.
I don't think. I think back then, like. Because
a game like that, probably not.
That will cram stuff into a window? Because I.
There are some that will try, but I don't think
because everybody looks like
really
they weigh 500 pounds
because well.
They're like stretched out wide. So.
That's how we built the models. They all they're it's real fat. It's like
they're
it's
thick
like,
provisioned.
From Pixar. What's the movie?
Wally. Wally.
Yeah. They're Wally Star Lancers.
Well, folks, I want to thank you for watching and listening to the show. Tune in next week when we're bringing back our good friend Paul of Void Destroyer fame to talk about his currently kickstarting sequel, Void Destroyer
2. Yeah, because it's got that one key feature. It's got the altitude
bars. I couldn't put.
No, it probably doesn't.
No, maybe. But it's also an open world game, which is nice because I couldn't finish the first mission in the first game.
It was difficult.
No one could. Like, the completion mission. The completion rate for that first mission is like 14%
or
something.
Did you say that?
Apparently. It's ridiculous. Yeah, like no one. Apparently there's a way he can see that like no one, so few people pass that first mission. But anyway, thank you so much, guys. And good luck with this. Can't wait to see this on Steam and whenever that's going up. But you can also go to descendantstudios.com to see you underground to get the early access version now if you can't wait for it on Steam. But you'll get a Steam key if you buy it now. You'll still get a Steam key on your account, right?
Yep.
Okay. So even if you get it now, you can get the DRM version, which I'm using, or the Steam version, which I would have used had Steam been working earlier. But yeah, thank you everyone, and thank you guys for sticking around, and thank you everyone for watching.
Steam,
we'll
like,
see you next week. Goodbye.
They put up a note. They said Gabe Newell had a fan go out in his computer, and that's what took Steam down. Was the
son of
Is
a
it
bitch.
Too soon?
Son
too
of a
soon.
Bitch. You bastard! It's gonna be too soon until the next computer. That's how too soon it's gonna be. Good night.